Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
I want to expand on that list, Sean, because I'm trying to remember, what did you have as number one in your lifetime as the worst season in the history of the New York Giants?
It is undoubtedly year two of Ben McAdoo, 2017. Mm. Team had Super Bowl aspirations,
yep,
and they fell flat on their face, and guys were quitting the team.
Okay. Right. I think that, by the way, that is absolutely towards the top of the list. But I think what you need to do now is expand it to include not just a bad Giants season, which 2017 was, or this Giants season, but making it worse by teams and players you may not like having great success. The Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Commanders being in the NFC Championship game, and I understand that Sean even said he doesn't hate the Commanders yet. That's fine. They're still a division rival. It's not the Eagles against the Vikings. It's not the Eagles against the Lions. It's the Eagles against the Commanders. You cannot tell me that that's preferable than the Eagles playing any other random NFC team. Can't say that.
I guess? Evan, I'm trying to get there where you're going, man, with this Commander thing.
Then forget the Commanders. You don't have to get there. If you don't feel that way.
Look, the Eagle thing? Yeah, it bothers the
especially
hell out of me.
With Saquon Barkley.
Well, I wouldn't say especially.
Of course, Sean, you're fighting people on Twitter every day about the Saquon signing. Well, you can't say
no,
him.
No, he's trolling people on Twitter about the Saquon signing.
Tiki's right.
He's trolling them. He doesn't necessarily care. Because let's be real. Everybody was okay with Saquon not re-signing with the New York Giants.
Yes.
The issue was that he went to our arch rival and he still had football left in him. And we knew he was going to torture us.
Yes.
Not this badly. But we knew he was going to torture us for the next 3 or 4 or 5 viable years that he had left. And I don't think anybody foresaw Saquon having the greatest running back season of any running back in history.
That's what I'm saying.
And so credit to him.
No, credit to him. But as a fan, that doesn't sting you just a little bit?
No, it doesn't.
May not sting you. It definitely stings him.
Well, I'm going to give you a twist.
Be honest for a change. Otherwise, we're just going to ask fake Sean. He'll give us the truth.
Listen, let's just hear me out.
Yes.
Does it sting? Yeah, if the Eagles ultimately win the Super Bowl,
I think
That stings more.
Yeah.
You know what it's oddly given me right now? Because I expected the Eagles to be really good.
Right.
It's oddly given me more rooting interest every week that goes on. Like, I sit down every week and I root against the Philadelphia Eagles and they piss me off. So as much as I'm pissed off, I have interest I otherwise wouldn't have if this was Lions 49ers this weekend. So I'm not saying I want this, but I'm also saying there's a part of me that's like, all right, there's something I'm rooting at least against every
right. And I think he's right about the Commanders. It's almost hard because they were so irrelevant for so long to think about them as there's not hate. It's not built up hate for the Commanders. It's just kind of like, well, that happened really quickly.
Right.
It's almost bewilderment.
Right.
Than it is. Yeah. I dislike them.
If the Eagles win the Super Bowl and Saquon Barkley is the Super Bowl MVP, becoming the first running back to win a Super Bowl MVP since Terrell Davis. Yeah. So it's been a while.
And by the way, I think if they get to the Super Bowl and the Eagles win, that will be necessary.
I kind of agree with you right now. In fact, I'm curious what the Vegas odds will even say on that. Like, he'll probably be the favorite. Usually it's the quarterback.
They won't do that now, will they? With the four teams, they won't Super Bowl MVP odds now.
Yeah, they will.
I think
they
saw it like earlier this week. I'll have to find it in my email, but I thought I saw some like odds on Super Bowl MVP. So I guess you could make that bet. And you're right. Like, I think his importance.
If you think the Eagles are going to get to the Super Bowl,
bet it now.
Bet it right now.
No, you're right.
100%.
But if he wins the Super Bowl MVP and along the way breaks John Riggins' record for most rushing yards in a postseason run, will this become the worst season in the history of the New York Football Giants? Considering what happened to the team, considering rivals are doing well, considering a guy, yes, you may have liked and you may have been okay with him leaving, but he now goes to a division rival, makes NFL history, wins a championship. Would this enhance this season as the worst if all of that other stuff happens? And they knock off the Chiefs, so they're the ones to knock off the dynasty. Yeah.
I think we're splitting hairs a little bit. I think there's two different things at play here. Is it the worst season in the history of the New York Giants? I don't think this changes the way I felt in 2017. Is this the worst season to experience as a Giants fan? Like, I know that's kind of like weird, but
it's the same thing. That's exactly
what. No, it's not. Because one, we're talking about from an organizational point of
view. No, I'm talking about as a fan. Forget the organization.
Look, if Saquon wins the MVP and you're the team I know I and many Giants fans, depending on your age, hate the most, also wins the Super Bowl in a year, we had three wins and didn't even get ourselves the top pick as a result, throw that all in one big pot of jambalaya of suctitude. Yeah, it probably would be the most miserable season a Giants fan could experience. Yes.
Definitely. Okay, so you agree with me. That's all.
Now, that being said,
that's all I was asking.
Eagle fan heartbreak this rounder in the Super Bowl helps ease the pain of this season
because 100%.
They got close and they didn't taste it.
100%. 100%. I know, I agree with that. And remember this, because 2017 is a great example, not only because of the disappointment of the season, but let's not forget that the Eagles not only won a Super Bowl, which is bad enough if you're a Giant fan. It was the first time you saw them do that. But they beat the team that you got to say you were the only team to beat in the Patriots, or player to beat in Brady and Belichick, which I know bothered you, Sean. So that's why 17 is very tough to match in terms of that being the worst season ever.
Remember, wasn't that the Eagle season was 2018, I believe.
Oh, was it? What was that? No, 16 was Atlanta against the Patriots.
Remember,
and 17 was the Eagles. It was Eagles-Patriots, because then 18 was the Patriots against the Rams. No, I was right. Don't correct me.
Are you sure about that?
I'm like 1,000% now. I just did my Super Bowls in a row.
All right, well, then you just answered the question the other way.
Yeah, the 2018 Super Bowl, but it was a 2017 season.
Yeah, I was talking about season. 17 season was the same year that
Matt. That was the same year.
You don't even remember that?
Well, that just shows you then your question's debunk. It doesn't add to it, because I only worry about what happened to the Giants then. Mm. I don't even look back at that and put two and two together with the McAdoo year being the year the Eagles won.
You don't associate it together.
Yeah, so then my answer would be, how could I associate these two together as time goes on? We just did the test. I didn't even remember they were the same year.
Interesting. I do wonder what fake Sean thinks about this. Would this make it the worst year ever if Saquon and the Eagles won a Super Bowl and he's the MVP?
It's funny you ask that. I actually have no idea.
I said fake Sean.
No, I know. I don't know what fake Sean feels about this, so I'll just grab him right now. Hey, fake Sean, you listening? Yes, I am right now. I have a question for Loogie. Yeah, what is it, fake Sean? Do you love Tommy DeVito? Yeah, I love Tommy. He crossed the street in the Eagles! He ruined the franchise! He killed the legacy of Joe Shane and Brian Dable! And now we have to watch the Eagles go to the Super Bowl! This is the worst season ever!
By the way,
right. I mean, okay.
Let me just say this, Tommy.
I still love Tommy DeVito.
I think DeVito might be the answer.
Apparently so did Sean.
I do apologize. I didn't let you cook properly, so my apologies on that. That was well done, sir.
Yeah, sometimes I know what fake Sean says, because we work in like unison, and then there's times where I just have to ask him.
I understand.
You know, you're really, it's day five of this, and you're like Chaz Palminteri-ing one-man showing this now.
Me or Evan?
You, Tommy, you. I mean, you're really feeling yourself. Let me grab him out of the coat closet, have a conversation.
I think
you're going to come in with a puppet and be a ventriloquist.
Well, much like Shrek and Ogre, you have to have layers. So you have to add things to it so it doesn't get stale.
What is Tommy going to become? I missed what you said. I'm sorry.
Me?
Yeah, when he comes over with a puppet, what's he going to become again?
A ventriloquist is what they call a puppeteer.
Okay.
What do you think I said?
I couldn't tell. I wonder if Sean thinks that fake Sean's going away. Like, do you think he's going to go away, or do you think he's going to actually last and make it on this show for a while?
Evan, as I've learned on this show, because our chemistry really has just gained steam, I'm not going to ask it to go away. I know if I don't act like I hate it, it will go away and die its own death. The more we told you we hated AI, what happened? We got more AI.
Right.
The more we shut up about it, the more it went away.
That's a good point.
Fake Sean, do you think fake Sean's going to last, or do you think fake Sean goes away at some point?
I think it will last forever. By the way, if you're living in New Jersey and you felt an earthquake today, interesting factoid, earthquake beat Ravishing Rick Rude on Saturday night's main event. You know what day that was? It was the day Daryl Strawberry signed with the Dodgers. Pete Alonso, what amazing day, is going to sign with the Angels. It's going to happen.
Is that true?
I know. That's one of those you got to fact check to know if it's funny or not.
Doesn't matter. I believe it. I have to check that out.
I didn't fact check it, but the timeline, Saturday night's main event, Ravishing Rick Rude,
right.
Earthquake, that was right around when Strawberry was in the mix with the Dodgers.
Right. Feels right.
It's close enough. And it's very timely because there's a Saturday night's main event tomorrow.
There is?
Yeah.
Didn't they just do one on Long Island like a month ago?
They brought another one back in Texas, and I know you guys are going to be so disappointed to hear this. Hulk Hogan cannot make it. He has, quote, a family situation that he needs to take care of.
He was booked on this show?
I think he was supposed to be.
Oh, boy.
Did they book him for all of them going forward?
Yeah, I think he was supposed to be a part of Saturday Night Main Events, but he has a family thing going on.
Huh. Was he at the one at the Collie?
They used him in promos. I don't think he was. No, he wasn't there.
He wasn't there like in physical form.
No, he was there at Monday Night Raw, and obviously.
I think that might be the family issues he might be referring to.
Yes, thank you for explaining it, Rosie. We weren't sure what I meant.
Dynamite drop in, Mom.
Thank you. Let's go to Matt and Port Jefferson. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. Thank you for getting me through this first week of classes. It's been a grind, but listen to you guys, I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Well, good luck. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I was listening a little while ago. I know you guys went to some Alonzo and Giants talk. I was listening about the Pete Carroll hire for Las Vegas. And, Evan, I'm with you. It's frustrating. But the big thing I think is if Leon Hess was the owner still, I think Carroll would have come back. I know you mentioned a difference in ownership between Woody and Mark Davidson in Vegas. I think it's a huge difference for Pete Carroll. I think if Hess was here, he was a self-made guy. He built up his company from the ground up. And then you look at Woody Johnson, who's born into wealth, right? He didn't really have to work to build up Johnson & Johnson. It was already this huge pharmaceutical company. So he's already born into it. And I think him buying the Jets was more of a way for him, not so much as a big purchase. It was more for him to get away from the company and his name to be his own identity.
Right.
Not only just Woody Johnson associated with Johnson & Johnson, but Woody Johnson, I'm also the owner of the Jets. And unfortunately, I think with a motive like that, it doesn't go well for a franchise. That's not the motive you can go into when buying a franchise. And in my opinion, that's why the Jets have caused me to have so many bad days, bad weeks. I'm 21 years old, and they haven't been to the playoffs since when? I was seven.
You know what's funny, Matt? I feel actually worse for you.
14 years. Yeah, seven.
Because at least, it's funny, I think about the different generations of Jet fans. You got the older generation, the Beningos, who got to the Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl, and they've experienced everything since, which has been mostly bad. Then you've got guys like me that have had some good stuff, but we've won nothing. And then you got a guy like our last caller. He's 21 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't even seen the playoffs.
No, and last time he did, he probably barely remembered.
Exactly. You don't remember it. You know, at least, not that I'm bragging about what I've seen as a Jet fan, because it's certainly not great. But I grew up and I saw them get to an AFC title game in 98, get to the playoffs in 01, 02, 04, 06, 9, and 10. Like, they actually had some decent run in them. And if you're that much younger, you've got nothing. I think the key with ownership, because let's use James Dolan as an example. James Dolan, I hate to say like the whole born into money thing, but James Dolan is now all of a sudden a decent owner.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did was he realized, get out of the way.
Well, you
hire good people and get out of the way.
I think it's more that first.
Yeah, that part's pretty important.
It's hire the competent executives that know what they're doing, that have a coherent plan that you can hear and trust and say, okay, I don't need to. This plan is right.
Right.
I don't need to get involved and then watch it come to fruition. That's what a good owner seemingly does.
Absolutely. And I think that's what Woody's missing, that he's gotten too involved.
Part of that might be that he doesn't trust the plan.
Well, but then it goes back to number one, which is hiring the right people.
I 100% agree with that.
It's the circle of hell, basically.
Of course it is.
If you don't hire the right people and you don't trust them, then you get involved.
Yeah.
And if you get involved, bad stuff happens.
And I think he was, you couldn't have told me at the beginning of the Joe Douglas and then not too soon after Robert Saleh era that it was the wrong thing. I would have thought it's the right thing. Joe Douglas had the background. He had the history and the experience.
Yeah.
And early on, it was like, dude, this dude's making some shrewd moves, right? Getting rid of, what's his name, Adams, before he became a pain in the butt. Like, it looked like he was the right hire.
Right.
And then Robert Saleh and their staff just couldn't figure out the offense.
Yeah, couldn't figure out.
The defense was great.
The quarterback.
Well, yeah, the quarterback.
That's what did him in.
Yeah.
It did him in.
Well, when you miss on a quarterback, it's a half a decade.
It sets you back. Speaking of quarterbacks, Pat Mahomes is very good. He's going to play football this weekend, and there is a notion that he and the Kansas City Chiefs get every single call.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? I did a deep dive, and we will give you the facts on if it's true or if it's a fantasy, plus more of your phone calls from Met fans, angry Raider fans I've offended, Giant fans who want to chime in.
Guarantees regular monthly rate plan price of fixed wireless 5G internet data with qualifying service. After $15 bill credit with postpaid voice line plus $5 a month without auto pay with debit or bank account. Regulatory fees included for qualifying accounts. $35 connection charge applies. Speeds vary due to factors affecting cellular networks.
We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right. I did a lot of work on this. So, T, you have every right to say, I appreciate you doing this work, but I'll tell you why your work means nothing. You have every right to do that.
All right.
But I wanted to do a deep dive on the Chiefs. Obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs are playing the AFC Championship game against the Buffalo Bills coming up in about an hour and a half. We'll all make our NFL picks. And there is a belief, just a very common belief, that Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs get all the calls. Okay? It's a common belief out there.
Feels like it.
So I wanted to do a deep dive on their entire postseason run to just see, do the numbers back up that feeling? And really, since the dynastic run sort of began, there's the post-Brady era and there's the Brady era. And what I mean by that is, in his first 8 postseason games that Patrick Mahomes played, the run before losing to the Patriots on the offsides call in 2018, D. Ford, to beating the Niners in 2019, to losing to the Bucs in 2020, the evidence supports that there is no clear flag advantage.
Right.
In fact, the Chiefs were called on average for more penalties than their opponents during that 8-game sample size run of going to back-to-back Super Bowls. Okay? But since 2021.
Mm-hmm. Since Pat Mahomes has become the star of the NFL.
Yes. Yes. Since Patrick Mahomes has become the star of the NFL. The Kansas City Chiefs have played 11 postseason games. In 10 of the postseason games, the Chiefs have been called for fewer penalties and fewer penalty yards. 10 of 11. In the one game that they weren't called for fewer penalties or fewer penalty yards, it was actually the Super Bowl against the Niners. They were called for the same amount of penalties and pretty much the same amount of yards.
So it was equal.
It was equal. But you look at championship game against the Ravens. Ravens are called for 8 penalties for 93. The Chiefs are called for 3 penalties for 30. You look at the divisional round that year against Buffalo. The Chiefs are called for only 2 penalties for 15 yards. The Bills, 5 penalties for 28 yards. You go right down the list. 10 of 11 games, the Chiefs have been called for fewer penalties and fewer penalty yards.
Now,
your thoughts.
Yeah, so my initial thought is that it's just because Andy Reid's a better coach.
Mm.
And Steve Spagnuolo, as a defensive coordinator, is a better coach.
They're a more disciplined team?
They are a disciplined team.
Could be.
They are a somewhat more veteran team than a lot of these other playoff opponents that they're facing. And as a result, they don't make the stupid mistake.
Yeah.
And when you think about some of the games where these ridiculous penalty disparities are happening, you go back and that's what's happening. Right, these other teams are just making stupid plays.
Right.
Right? They're just an ill-advised late hit. Or if you're going in at the quarterback, hit him in his chest. Right? Get your hands away from his head. It's little things like that. And the reason I know that's relevant and important is because certain coaches teach different.
Mm.
Like if you're certain coaches will teach you when you're two steps from the quarterback, put your hands down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As opposed to just go get him and hit his jock in the dirt and kill him. Like that's what it used to be. And some guys still coach that way. And it's just stupid because you know you're going to get penalized.
Can you pull that? Hit him in the jock and kill him, please? Can we have that on file for later?
Well, I mean, they usually say something else. That,
no, you cleaned it up. You did a great job.
It's what's inside the jock is what they're really talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't, can't say that, but you know what I mean. And so I think the smart coaches can coach you out of stupid penalties.
Mm.
Like, because it's so ingrained that it becomes second nature to do the right thing as opposed to do the aggressive emotional thing.
Yeah. The other thing, and I admit, because I remember, I think it was actually the Knicks-Nets game the other night, to use that as a stupid example.
Mm-hmm.
After the game, a game the Knicks embarrassingly almost lost, but they won the game, Tom Thibodeau decided to cry to the media after the game. I'm not sure if you guys saw this.
No.
But he cried. You know, Jalen Brunson never gets any calls. This is the officiating today was just it's an embarrassment.
Evan, I didn't even see the second half of the game.
And the thing that's unfair when coaches do that by saying, well, they got 30 free throws and we had 6, is, well, yeah, maybe you fouled more. It's possible. Maybe they were more aggressive. So I admit that the sheer numbers doesn't prove anything.
No.
Because you have to watch every single play and say, well, maybe, like you pointed out, the Chiefs are just more disciplined than you.
Yeah. Or veteran.
But.
Or have been there before.
But.
And by the way, that's a lot of it is also they've been there before.
Absolutely. They have a ton of experience.
Yes.
So I agree with that. The problem is there's a narrative. And the narrative that exists going into Sunday's game is that the Chiefs will get every call.
Yep.
And so if I tell you, hey, in the last 11 playoff games, the Chiefs have been called for 36 penalties and their opponents have been called for 64 penalties, which is a fact, 64 to 36, you hear that and say,
wow.
Wow. Okay. But that's kind of the issue going into Sunday for all of us as football fans. Fair or not. Whether it's discipline or not, or it's experience or not, the numbers are the numbers. And the Kansas City Chiefs have gotten the benefit, or they're just so good at it, of not being called for as many killer penalties as their opponents.
Hit his jock in the dirt and kill him.
Nicely done.
That is a good one. I kind of sounded like a coach there.
You really did.
All right. I might have to go get a ball cap and some tight shorts.
Don't do this. You're going to leave us to be a coach. Come on.
Go be a coach with Aaron Glenn.
Wow. Aaron Glenn, I may accept it. Can you do both? Can you pull off what Pete Carroll's doing where he's a professor and coach?
No, it's not even Pete Carroll. It's, what's his name?
Oh, yeah. The guy who used to work
here. Gottlieb.
Doug Gottlieb. Yeah. Do a Doug Gottlieb.
Doug Gottlieb coaches a college basketball team while hosting a talk show.
Which is insane.
But you know what would be great? Why this would work? Like, briefly, when Craig left and they were like, who do you want to work with? I was like, well, besides Tiki Barber, I said, how about Aaron Boone? And they're like, really, Aaron Boone? I said, yeah, can he do both? Can he manage the Yankees? And the reason why that would work with him and work with you is we care a lot about the Jets and the Yankees.
Yeah.
So every time you're about to do a show, it's like, so what happened to practice today?
We're leaning into kicking ass.
It's not like you're coaching the Islanders or the Nets or the Rangers where it's like, well, we can't really talk that much about you.
It's also not like I'd be the head coach. I'd just be like the running back coach.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're not going to like when I start screaming about Aaron Glenn screwing up and you're like, I got to defend him, man.
No,
he's my boss.
Would just tell you what's actually going on.
That's true. So you convinced that the Chiefs are getting every call? Fake Sean?
I'm sorry. I don't want to go back to fake Sean.
Real Sean?
Am I convinced that the Chiefs aren't getting every call? I think what Tiki said is very true. I think they're the best coach team in football.
Wow.
And I think, and
it's
I
a
think
very mature opinion that you have.
It is. Honestly, though, I think what everybody loses their mind about is it's not just about the calls. It's about one specific type of call. It always comes back to the freaking roughing the passer right. calls with Patrick Mahomes, and that he gets the benefit of the doubt that other quarterbacks don't get.
You know
get.
Why that doesn't bother me?
It doesn't, because it happens all the time in any sport with superstars.
It happens with superstars in every sport, you're right. And also, he is chasing down the ghost of Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Brady got more of that than anybody.
No doubt.
Of course.
No doubt.
Of course.
And look, I don't think it's a directive to the referees in the game, but it almost feels like there is a preseason or whatever instructional meeting for these refs saying, these are the highest paid players in all of professional sports.
Protect them?
We all suffer if one of these guys is hurt.
Oh, God. Can you imagine if they actually do that?
But the reality is that's the truth.
No, I know it is. I know.
Right? Because think about there are not a ton of good quarterbacks. I was just looking. Somebody had a thing on for the Giants. Like, what are the options? And there were names up there like Justin Fields was like the top option.
Right, right.
And it's, you know, all of these cast-offs, Derek Carr and Kirk Cousins and Jameis Winston. And as I was looking through the list, there was a lot of names on that list. I was like, man, quarterbacking sucks in the NFL. Right? It's either young kids that you just don't quite know about yet, or it's guys you don't really want.
Right.
Yep.
And so when you have a Joe Burrow and a Pat Mahomes and an up-and-coming C.J. Stroud or some of these other guys that you know are really good, if they're not in the game and their backups are having to play, the game gets ugly. I called a bunch of them this year. It gets really ugly without good quarterback play. And so I'm not saying that this happens, but if it was me, I would say protect the quarterbacks because that's the moneymaker.
I'm curious, Teague. I think there's something the NFL can do, though, to alleviate this problem everybody has with the Chiefs and with Mahomes. And I don't think it's unprecedented because it happens in gasp hockey. How about flag guys like Mahomes for embellishment penalties?
Yeah. No, you're
like
right.
last week when right. he had that move over the sideline where he clearly didn't get hit and he went flopping out and everybody kind of had a good laugh about it. Well, you know what? Maybe it evens the playing field a little bit if he's not more inclined to try to sell the ridiculousness of calls and he's getting 15 yards for that.
They tried this in basketball, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they would fine people. Yeah,
right. So. Lottie Divotch, right?
Yeah, exactly. But it didn't really. I don't know if it had an impact.
Anti-flopping regulation. Yeah. I don't like doing that. What I would do is simply review penalties.
Mm.
You have a challenge flag. If you think you got hosed on a roughing the passer that isn't legit, let them look at it again.
Even more specifically, Evan, because you don't want to review everything, but review roughing the passer.
Absolutely.
Because that's the one that gets the most ire of the fan of the team that gets called for it.
Even if they uphold it and Pat Mahomes still gets the benefit, at least you get a second look at it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the NFL needs to do. I think replay is great for sports. In fact, I just read that MLB is really testing out the robo-ump in spring training this year. 60% of spring training games are going to have this thing called a robo-ump where teams are going to get to challenge balls and strikes. And the reason
but
why
it's
that,
only for the challenge.
Only it's, challenges. It's not like every ball and strike. It's just that you can challenge something that isn't a ball and isn't a strike. And I know spring training, who cares? It's a gateway to that. This is coming to the major leagues. We're going to have a challenge system with balls and strikes. And I'm not against it because I want the calls to be right.
Yeah, I feel like I saw this. I forget one of those independent leagues, they had this.
Well, the minors, they were doing it.
Atlantic was it the minors?
League. Yeah.
Whether it was, but whatever it was, one of the batters challenged and it was immediate.
Yeah, it was very quick.
So, I mean, it's not like, oh, let's go look under the hood and see what this thing says. Like, it's immediate.
Well, it's funny. In baseball, you want it to be immediate, and I agree. In football, like we're talking about reviewing and roughing the passer, these are so special, these games. They're so rare. If reviewing roughing the passer takes an extra 5 minutes on an AFC championship game, I'll be all right.
Yeah, but it shouldn't because someone should be looking at it every game.
I agree. It shouldn't. But are we really going to complain about a NFL playoff game taking too long?
Well,
we only
got
three
shouldn't.
Left.
You shouldn't. I mean, don't they? They have the expedited review already.
They do, yes.
And really all we need is an extension of the expedited review to roughing the passer.
Yes, really every penalty.
So that, well, Well,
I do it with every penalty.
Well, they do it with a lot of the penalties.
They did it with face masks.
I just don't know if it's if it works for roughing the passer.
Right.
And so if they extend it to include.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Roughing the passer, it'll go away. Like, the flopping and all that stuff, it'll go away quickly.
Yep.
Because you know you're not going to get, it's going to get overturned.
Right. 888-808-1019. Matt Mineola, what's up, Matt?
Yeah, but I just want to let you know, I think your logic with total penalties is a little flawed, just because, you know, like, what if they're pre-snap penalties? I'm a huge Jets fan.
Right.
You know, are the Jets biased, or do they just are very, very undisciplined because right. they jump off all sides
Matt,
and
Matt,
that, all start that, every
Matt,
second?
Matt, that is my take on this. That's exactly what I think it is, because I don't know. I mean, not all of these penalties against the Chiefs' opponents are roughing the passer.
Right.
A lot of them are stupid pre-snap penalties.
Absolutely.
So that goes back to, I just think the Chiefs are very well coached and have a very veteran, experienced team who've been in the postseason a lot.
Just remember, and I admit that there is no perfect way to see if there's bias or not. I just want to supply the information. Mm-hmm. We report, you decide. Who says that? Mm-hmm. I don't remember. We're saying it right now. But keep this in mind. Sample size.
Yeah, we're just trying to be fair and balanced over here.
That's it. Fair and balanced. That's it. All of that. We're friends. Fox and friends. Oh, that one was too obvious. 11 games, 10 of which they were called for fewer penalties. If it was 4 games or 3 games or 5 games, it's 3 or 4 or 5 games. Out of 11 games, that's a lot. So, look, you have every right to say, it doesn't mean much. They're a more disciplined team. It's BS. It's not BS calls. It's real calls. I'm just saying, I wanted to deep dive it just to see if the numbers back up any kind of thing. And the numbers do at least back up that in the last 11 playoff games, the Chiefs have been called for 36 penalties, mm-hmm. which, by the way, that is an obscenely low number.
Right.
36 penalties in 11 games? That's 3 penalties per game, right. essentially. And their opponents are called for 64. So there's just a great difference. Vinny in Staten Island. Hey, Vinny.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So, Tiki, I know you were talking about how they're disciplined and all that.
Yep.
You're going to the Chiefs, obviously. I know, Evan, you like to do research. So if you get a minute, maybe you can look at it. The only reason I don't buy that, Tiki,
go ahead,
is because this is not a disciplined team. Every year, they're right up there or at the top in leading the league and holding penalties on their offensive line. And then in the three Super Bowls they've won, they haven't been called for one holding penalty, playing against the Niners and that Eagles D-line who absolutely terrorized the whole NFL that year.
Well, how many were the opponent called for in those games?
I don't know exactly.
Well, I think
if you could find that,
look, Vinny, but I think one of the things that you often find from refs once you get deeper into the postseason is that they don't want to call, they don't want to throw flags.
Right.
Right. They don't want to be the reason that a team won or lost. And so you've heard this many times. The referees are there to call the obvious thing. But if it's not obvious, let them play.
Yes. And that's what we want.
And I think so in the Super Bowl, that kind is what happened. Because you could call it. You could call holding almost all the anytime.
Sure.
You could call legal contact literally every play. I just think it's not subjective. it's an objective decision by a referee and crew to let them play a little bit.
The Kansas City Chiefs, on average in 2024, were called for the fewest penalties in the NFL. They were tied with the Arizona Cardinals and the LA Chargers for the fewest penalties per game in the NFL. In 2023, we'll go back a year earlier, Kansas City was 12th in the NFL.
Right.
So still top half of the league. They were 12th in fewest penalties called. If we go back to 2022, they were 5th. So they are a disciplined team because even in the regular season, unless you just think they're getting every call in the regular season, they have been perennially a pretty disciplined team in terms of penalties that are called. It's just, I think there's a narrative right now. It just is. If there's a big call, a big 50-50 call on Sunday, and it goes Kansas City's way. I mean, you know what's going to be said.
Yeah, I know.
They just want Taylor Swift to be at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's literally the narrative. So it's...
Don't you feel like that's past?
To me, I think it has, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't feel as relevant this year.
I think what's relevant to wanting the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and I admit, and I don't know if I'm in the minority on this, I want the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And it's not just simply, I don't like the Buffalo Bills or I don't like Sean McDermott. I kind of want to see him chase history. This is historic. We're talking about a team trying to win a third straight Super Bowl. That has never happened. Never. Mm-hmm. We haven't even seen a team get to a third straight Super Bowl while trying to win a third straight Super Bowl.
Yes.
So, to me, I'm excited about the enormity of the history of it. And so, that's what I think would make the league or fans say, I want to see the Chiefs. It's history.
Right.
And history's kind of cool. And we actually had this discussion / argument about, I forget who wasn't related to, it may have been the Dodgers or the NBA, how I said to you, dynasties are good for sports.
Yes, because it gives you someone to root against or root for.
Yes.
If you're a non-interested observer.
That's right.
You're independent. You don't care. Your team's not in it. It's not even affecting your division, et cetera, et cetera. It just gives you something to watch.
And the Chiefs, look, we're going to watch the Super Bowl no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the other sports where maybe you go and you don't watch. Mm-hmm. We all watch the Super Bowl, but you have to admit, if the Chiefs are in it, it's more interesting.
Of course.
I asked you this the other day when we were talking about this. I was bringing up the Astros, how they're good for baseball. And I said to you, if the Astros had beaten the Rangers in the ALCS 2 years ago, and they were in the World Series against the Diamondbacks, would you have watched? And you said, yeah, probably. Yeah. And I said, why? You're like, because of the Astros. I said, did you watch Texas against Arizona?
Not a second.
Not a second. Say, dynasties are good. And so the Chiefs being there, at least to me, is a very appealing thing. Problem is, if they lose, they're losing to the Bills. Oh, God. I can't stand the Buffalo Bills. I know what you guys think about the Buffalo Bills. I actually don't know what Fake Sean thinks about the Buffalo Bills. Fake Sean, do you share my despair for the Buffalo, distaste for the Buffalo Bills, or what's your feeling?
You know what the similarity is between the loser Jet fans and the Buffalo Bill fans? They all took their cousins to prom! They were friends of Rocky! They all showed their faces! That includes the women!
I don't know what the hell that was.
I guess he doesn't like Bills fans. I don't know.
Okay.
But you got to ask Fake Sean this. If the Bills make it to the Super Bowl and they're playing the Eagles, we have an interesting situation here. Did you know at that point
The Bills would be a New York team, and New York always beats Philadelphia.
Real Sean, do you agree with that opinion?
I mean, I don't think I'd go to the real Bill fan thing. I'd become a Bill fan. I will say this. Fake Sean, you have partially something right about the taking the girls to prom. You know what I don't want 2 weeks of? We get it. You jump through tables. I am so tired of hearing about mafia and jumping through tables that I would get so sick. I would get way more sick of that than I would for Taylor Swift for 2 weeks. I'm telling you that right now.
No, I get you. And I'll tell you what.
At least Taylor's music is good.
Yeah. Oh, true. God, I'm so tired of the Bill fan gimmicks.
The other thing that I don't think you'll get sick of, because to me this is magic, and we'll get into it in just a few minutes, is how if the Chiefs win on Sunday, you start comparing the Mahomes resume to the Brady resume, and it's a very interesting comparison. We'll play a little Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Bingo when we come back.
Plus Brady, Bingo?
Tom Brady, Bingo.
Okay.
Yeah. Brady, Bingo. But what did I say? Brady, Bingo?
Brady, Bingo. You're already thinking about the Rico and Brett Brady. We got it.
Actually, I think I like that better. The Tom Brady, Bingo. We'll check a little Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Bingo, as Mahomes continues to put together a historic resume that, believe it or not, is matching and surpassing Tom Brady to begin his NFL career. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Steve is calling from Merrick. How are you, Steve?
I'm good. I want to talk to you about Pete, but very quickly, you're talking about the Giants fans and Saquon, well, A, if he was touched by the hand of God and he's playing for Philly, the analogy I would bring up for you and me, Evan, would be Daniel Murphy killing us every time we saw him. It would be to say, I got to believe it's the same feeling for the Giants.
The only thing that's different, because I have thought about what Murphy did with Washington and he almost won the MVP with the Nationals, is that most Met fans wanted him back. And in the Giants' case, it seemed like most Giant fans were like, all right, it's just we got to move on.
Right.
You know, it's just not working here. So I think that's one of the big differences, the acceptance of a guy leaving versus most Met fans didn't want him to leave after 15.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But moving on to Pete, you guys cut me off a little bit early about a week or so ago.
Go ahead.
And one of my points was going to be, why not sign them both? Go to Pete and say, listen, we do want you. We do love you. We'll give you, take the number, 2 years with a club option, 3 years with a club option. I know that's not what Boris wants, but go to him. Look, you want to be here. Let's work this out. Throw more bonuses in. Hey, if you bring yourself up to this, et cetera, et cetera. And then if you're really in love with Vlad, you got more money than anybody else. I don't even know if Vlad's going to be the guy. We should have had the first Vlad, but that kind of probably predates you a little bit.
No, it doesn't. No, trust me, that does not predate me. I wanted Vlad. That's when the Wilpon said, oh, he's got a bad back. We can't sign him. Both New York teams came very close to signing the original Vladimir Guerrero. The Yankees were going to sign him, and then George Steinbrenner stepped in the way because I guess he had a good lunch with Gary Sheffield and overruled. And so all of a sudden, Sheff's here and Vlad's not. And the Mets should have gone after Vladimir Guerrero. I think the Mets have tried that approach. I think their three-year offer to him was that approach, which is, we'd love to have you back. Here's the same amount of money per year as we offered you 2 years ago. And you have an opt-out. And he said no, because his agent is still in his ear telling him, I can get you more. And that remains to be seen. Is his agent going to get him more? I don't know. It still hasn't happened yet.
No. I mean, I don't know what Vlad's thought process is. I don't know what Pete's thought process is. Because so much of this depends on getting advice. Like, you hire an agent. And one of the things that you ask of that agent is to give me, what do you think I should do?
Mm-hmm.
And the problem sometimes, and this is where I don't have an issue because, hell, if Scott Boras could make me more money, I'd want him too.
Sure.
But he often is, I think, giving advice based on one criteria and not the full criteria, which is, what do you want your life to be?
Right.
Forget how much money you're going to make, but what do you want your legacy and your life to be like? Where do you see yourself in 3 years as a player? Where do you see yourself in 3 years as a person? And if you have a ton of money, like those latter things don't care, but it don't matter. But I do think that you need to have that conversation. And sometimes I don't know if that conversation is always had because there's so much money we're talking about.
I'll tell you a story. I've heard a great, great story about Scott Boras. Okay, I don't think I should reveal the player, so I'll let you figure it out if you want to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you a story I heard about a player who left his agent to go to Scott Boras. Gets to free agency, and the player tells Scott Boras, hey, go get me the most money.
Yep.
I have one request. Just one thing. I don't want to play in this specific city. And I'm not trying to be a troll here. That city happened to be Philadelphia. Okay?
Right.
Just said, I don't want to play there. Whatever reason. Okay? So Scott Boras says, okay, goes to work, does his thing, turns down these offers, blah, blah, blah. Goes back to him and says, all right, I got you 4 years, $60 million, whatever the figure was.
Right.
And the player says, great, where is it? And he says, Philly. And the player says, but I told you, like, I don't want to go to Philly. And he says, well, this is by far the best offer I got. Meanwhile, he had turned down other offers earlier in the offseason. And the player was screwed. And the player ended up going to Philadelphia. Mm. So he could play that game and try to figure it out. But the player ended up going there right. And ended up pissed off. Like, dude, I didn't ask for much.
I know.
Just do your magic and get me somewhere else. And
right.
So that's why as the player.
And if it's 10% less because I got to play someplace other than Philly, that's the best you could do.
Right.
But he maximized his own return.
Right. And think about it. If that player ends up in a situation where Scott says, I got you this great offer from the Phillies. And oh, by the way, I don't have any other offer. You kind of put yourself in this spot. And so you said it earlier. What does Pete really want? I don't know. I mean, he's out in California meeting with the Angels, according to Pat Regazzo. Does he want to play for the Angels?
I doubt it.
I doubt it? I don't know. Does he want to go to Toronto?
I seriously doubt it.
Right.
You know, when it comes to the polar bear, we're not in contract hibernation.
I think Pete Alonso wants to be a New York Met.
And if he's not, it's a damn shame.
Of course.
And I think most Met fans are actually not going to be mad at the Mets. They're going to look at Scott Boras and Pete Alonso and say, dude, it's on you.
Mm-hmm.
Rich in Louisville. How are you, Rich?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking me. Hey, I've got a question for Tiki pertaining to Pete.
Go ahead.
During the course of your career, did you ever go to Coach Coughlin or the Maras, Mr. Mara, and say, we need to keep this guy?
Huh. Well, yeah, actually, I did. At the end of my career, I did do that. It wasn't a guy, though, that you would think.
Who was it?
So when I retired, like, I didn't talk to anybody. Like, my last game was the Eagles playoff game. Down in at the link, basically Jeffrey Lurie did my retirement press conference because he spoke there when I was retiring and said all these good things, glowing things about me. And then I go to the stadium the next. I only think it was the next day when they're doing the clean out. I didn't want to be there for the clean out stuff, so it was like 2 days later. And I get there and they say Mr. Mara wants to see you. John wants to see me.
Right.
And so I go up and I see Mr. Mara. And we start having a conversation. And he's like, are you sure I can't talk you out of this? I'm like, no, I'm done. I'm ready for whatever's next. And then we start talking about Coach Coughlin.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, tell me what you think. And I said, he's a great coach. You can't fire him. He just got to be different. And to his credit, he was different.
Yeah.
And so.
So you said keep Tom Coughlin.
I did.
Wow. Well,
that was my opinion.
That's a clutch move, bro, because with players,
I never really had that.
Right.
I never felt like it was, I mean, you'd be like betraying your teammate.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So I never really felt that.
I wonder if anyone does that.
There was one that I really wanted to keep, and I knew it wasn't going to happen. That was Greg Camella.
Mm.
He was a free agent, but he was negotiating himself like he was his own agent.
Right.
And he was like, I just want to see what this is all like. You know, Stanford guy.
Yeah. Let me tell you, negotiating your own deal, not a good idea.
He ended up in Tampa.
Oh. And he did well on the negotiations?
Yeah, he did well. Played, you know, he's one of the few guys that played with me and my brother.
Oh, wow.
Joe Jarvisius is another. I'm trying to think who else. I feel like there's one other one.
I give him credit. He's a Stanford guy, so he was able to pull it off. I just know that negotiating on your own is not good.
What? Yes.
Ike Hilliard.
Yes, Ike was another one.
The honor of playing with both barbers.
That's right.
How about that? I wonder if any Met player texts Steve Cohen and says, hey, what's going on with Pete?
Do you think they have the relationship to do it?
Yeah, because one thing we heard about last year or 2 years ago was that Steve Cohen was group chatting some Met players about moves that they were making. So Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor, and I forget the exact move they were talking about when it happened, but I remember them saying, and actually the big story was that Pete Alonso wasn't on the text chat.
Yeah, I do remember
and that.
And
that became like, why isn't Pete on the text chat? Cohen hates him or something. So clearly...
Maybe, or maybe he's just not engaging.
Right, maybe he's just an aloof.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's what it is with Pete. He's not a bad guy. He's not a bad guy in the locker room. He's just, he's a little, Loogie, what's the word again?
Either aloof.
Awkward.
Awkward.
Dopey.
Doofus.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. Okay, you can stop now. Feels like you're looking at me and saying that to me as you say it.
Awkward. It's garbage that you're even considering cutting your beard.
I know, Pete. I'm sorry. I feel like I let him down now.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, God. Every time you play that, it makes me sad. It really does. Like, I did something.
Pete sounds very sad in that clip, too.
He does. He was mad at me. He was like, because I asked him if I could cut my beard.
He's like, you represent Met fandom, yeah. And you're letting me down.
I know. And I cut the beard, and now look what happens. Look where we are all these months later. He's in free agency, and the odds are pretty high that he's not coming back.
So all Mets fans that want Pete Alonso can blame you.
Correct.
For cutting the beard. Yeah.
I'll take the blame either way. I can't wait, though. I know that you all you guys made Alonso team predictions while I was sick that one day.
Mm-hmm.
Or was I forget where I was.
You were sick.
I was sick that day?
Yeah.
And you did it on purpose because you know I love these predictions, and then we play the audio and we see how we did.
Yep.
I still have no idea what any of you guys said in that prediction. We got a lot of predictions once Pete signs. We have three. We have that one that you guys did while I was gone, which team he'll go to. We've got the date he'll sign.
Right.
And then we have the contract. And the contract one, believe it or not, we made those predictions in June.
And?
Oh, I don't want to reveal anything. Let's wait till he signs.
Wait till he actually signs.
Put it this way. One guy, two guys on our group are very close to nailing it. One guy is on another freaking stratosphere, and the other guy's just going to be wrong. That's how I'll leave it.
All right.
So two of us are in, like, whoa, oh, my God, back in June, they saw this coming. One of you guys just is way off, and the other one is like, yeah, you're off, but you're wrong. So when Pete signs, we got a lot of stuff to do, man. We got a lot of stuff to get to, that's for sure. Let's go to Steve in Toms River. How are you today, Steve?
Doing well. How you guys doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Yeah, I want to go back to the Mahomes referee conversation, if we can.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So, obviously, the NFL prints money, right? Mm-hmm. And, I don't think it matters whether or not, you know, the conspiracy, if they really got this script or whatever. But
there is no script. That's for sure.
Is that it turns into the WWE. And if we're talking about it, and the national audience is talking about it, that's not good publicity for this in the NFL.
I think it's bad publicity, but I don't think it's enough yet that people actually think there's a rigging problem in the NFL.
Not enough people believe it yet.
If enough people believe it, you're right. There's an issue. Like, then you're going to start seeing people say, I don't trust the product. I'm not going to watch it. Mm. But even like I saw last week, the NFL playoff ratings were down. Sure, they were down. They're still massive. And I think they'll go back up this week. I think the matchups this week, especially Buffalo against Kansas City, it's just going to bring it right back up. It's going to be monster, monster numbers. So even if we're talking on the radio or on social media or wherever about all the officials, they're biased towards this team or that team, it isn't a big enough problem yet where people actually think it's done purposeful and enough of a problem where people aren't going
to
watch.
I'm trying to think why ratings were down because it just seems odd. Than in the divisional round where we had some pretty good games, that it would be down.
I think
like every team that played had a compelling story.
Yeah, I think I know the reason.
Why?
Let's see if Sean's going to jump on it. Sean, why do you think the ratings were down last week in the NFL playoffs? Go ahead. I'll let you do it.
I got nothing, Evan. I was going to say holiday. I was going to say holiday weekend, but MLK Day was always
okay.
The
holiday weekend's not it. Let's see if Fake Sean can pick up on it. Fake Sean, do you know why? The NFL ratings were down last week.
I sure do. No, I absolutely do. You know why? Because one of the best organizations in the history of the NFL, they weren't there. And that is the Giants. And did you know this, real Sean? Are you there? Did you know this?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did you know that Brian Daboll, actually not Brian Daboll, his great-grandfather, Super Daboll, came up with the word Super Bowl. That's right, Eagle fans. You're going to win the Super Bowl. And it's a name that was created by Brian Daboll.
Not what I was thinking.
Day balls.
What I was thinking is we had bad weather games. And I thought this was your opportunity to say, see?
People were turned off.
People were turned off. They couldn't see the yard line. They're like, I'm not watching this crap.
I would argue it draws more eyes in.
But it's bad football, right? Isn't that the argument?
Yeah, can't two things be true? We're dummies that are entertained by it, but the product suffers.
Yeah. I don't think anything has to do with it. I think, you know what, when a number is so massive and the NFL does so well, there's just going to be years where it's down a tick, and that's all it was. Like, I bet you the ratings for the NFC Championship and the AFC Championship are going to be incredibly high. By the way, speaking of ratings or value or excitement of a game, we did this last Friday. Let's do it again. Let's check the secondary market for both of these championship games. Let's start things off with which one has the higher secondary market and how high is it? Want to guess, Sean?
I'm going to say it's Commanders, Eagles.
No
team. New team flooding in that can travel. And I'm going to say, where are we going by? Get-in price
or just
average?
The get-in price. And for perspective, the get-in price last week in Philadelphia was about $250.
Okay. I'm going to say $370 Commanders-Eagles is the most expensive get-in of the weekend.
It's easily the Kansas City Chiefs because the Buffalo Bills would travel to the moon to see their team play. And it's going to be
$580. $580. So, the answer to your question is, it's not close. It's actually a blowout. The get-in price is far and away higher to go to that disgusting city known as Philadelphia.
Really?
Sean is right, wow. Except he's wrong, because the get-in price is not $350. It's not $450. It's not $550. The get-in price in Philadelphia for Eagles Commanders, as of right now, is $700 a ticket.
Wow. You know what? This is where Fake Sean's sleeping, because Fake Sean has something perfect right now he should be saying. Can I do Fake Sean for a second?
Go ahead.
Fake Sean, would you allow real Sean to do an imitation of Fake Sean?
Shh. Go ahead.
You see, Giants fans, things aren't so bad, because no matter what, you're going to have a fan of a rival team plunk down money they probably don't have to walk out of there a loser.
That was really good.
Yeah. Money isn't everything. It's the only thing.
I feel like Fake Sean can be replicated by anybody.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you or I can do it, though.
I don't think I could.
Like, if I tried, I wouldn't sound anything like that. But Fake Sean imitating Fake Sean sounds just like Fake Sean.
It does.
It's an exception.
But I tell you, I think Fake Sean's material is a lot better.
Yeah, no, I mean, Sean doing a fake Sean, so he would be a fake Sean, and Fake Sean is imitating the real Sean.
Well,
so,
I'm just saying, if Fake Sean is imitating the way my head works, that was my thought. I said, oh my God, one of these teams is going to have people spend money like that and walk out a loser.
I have to actually disagree with you guys. I think, and I know this is going to be really tough to tell over the TV, I don't think there's going to be many Commander fans there. I think that this is just the Philadelphia market being really excited about being in the NFC Championship game. And I think
you're right.
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be a lot of Commander fans there.
There's a stat going around from TickPick.
Go ahead.
That 20% of the secondary sales, according to TickPick, are coming from the state of Virginia.
Wow. Okay.
But that's 20%.
Right, and that's only the secondary.
Right, so it'll be less than that. It's still more than I think. I thought like it would just be, because I just remember, I went to Mets-Phillies, right, in the playoffs. Dude, there were like 7 Met fans there. Like, I'll be the first to tell you, and we're New York.
Yeah.
And we are as passionate a fan.
And that's an hour drive, not a 2.5 hour drive.
Right, and I know the Commander fan's really excited. So was the Met fan. I just thought it was really tough to get in. So either way, you are right. The get-in price in Philadelphia this weekend is $700. The get-in price in Kansas City is not that high. I mean, it's high. Like, I don't want to spend it, but not nearly as high as Philly. The get-in price is $245 a ticket. And I think a lot of that is, so you mentioned the Bill fan traveling. You are right, but it is very difficult to travel to Kansas City.
Right.
Like, you're literally getting on a plane and you're flying there. And I think the Chief fan, they've had so many of these. So many championship games. Speaking of which, if you check out the Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes bingo, and look, it is going to be very tough for Pat Mahomes to ever conquer the Brady demon. Tom Brady's won 7 Super Bowls. He went to 3 others, so he went to 10. This is going to be, if the Chiefs win, his 5th, right? So all of a sudden, he's halfway home.
It'll be his 5th win? No,
5th appearance.
5th appearance, it'll be his 4th win if he wins.
Right, if he wins. Tom Brady, over the course of his first 7 years, won three Super Bowls. Mahomes is already at the three, and he lost one. Mahomes lost one. Mahomes has never missed the playoffs. Tom Brady did. Brady lost in a divisional round. Mahomes hasn't. So over the first 7 years of their career, when it comes to winning, and obviously it's not just the quarterback, I get that, Mahomes actually ahead of the game, which is remarkable. Now, obviously what's going to make it really difficult is keeping it up, because the complete resume of Tom Brady is insane. The seven Super Bowls, the three other Super Bowl appearances, four times losing in a championship game. So you're talking about 14 seasons in which he at least got to a championship game, if not further.
True. But Pat Mahomes has been the seventh straight. Hosted seven straight.
Right. Like he's,
championship game.
Well, no, because they were on the road last year.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was the one, like,
that's right,
hiccup to it all. But you're right. Like, he's been to so many that over the course of his first 7 years, and we'll see what happens on Sunday, he is ahead of the Tom Brady pace, which is insane.
I know, because that's a stupid pace.
Yeah.
The Tom Brady pace is a stupid pace.
It's an insane pace. And think about this. After this season, if you're keeping up with the Tom Brady pace, in Tom Brady's eighth year, he basically missed it due to that injury. He got hurt opening week. Year after that, lost in the wild card round. Year after that, lost in the divisional round. Year after that, lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl, and then lost back-to-back championship games. So not only is Mahomes right at Brady's pace, if not better, he's got a five-year window where he can jump ahead even more.
Mm.
How about that?
If they stay this good.
I mean, look, it's, are there any signs that they're not, though?
No, not really, but there's a good chance that things just fall apart. You never know. You just never know.
Yeah, look, you're right. You never know.
Travis Kelce finally retires. How do they replace that?
What Patrick Mahomes needs to do, okay, is he's got to build up a bigger lead on Tom Brady. Right now, he's got a lead 7 years in, and he's got the next 5 years where he can really gain on Tom because he didn't win Super Bowls, didn't do anything. The problem is late in Tom's career, he tacks on four more Super Bowls. That's going to be the issue. He needs to build a big enough lead so that at the end of Mahomes' career, he doesn't have to be as insane as Tom Brady was.
Which is hard to do.
It's going to be hard.
Really hard.
But all I know is that reason right there is why I find myself rooting for him. Because I want him to wipe away the Tom Brady goatness. And here's the best part. Tom Brady's going to have to call the Super Bowl. He's going to have to broadcast Pat Mahomes potentially pulling off a three-peat, something Tommy never did, and pulling up number four. Like, you have to admit, the competitor that Tom Brady is, there's going to be some death in his voice.
Right.
While owning a rival.
Yeah. While owning a rival, it's going to win nothing. I love it.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.